How often I would have gathered you in my arms, and yet you would not. Now, Spirit of the living God, move within my heart. Let the words of my mouth, let the meditations of my heart be found acceptable in your sight. For you are my Lord, you are my strength, you are my Redeemer, Lord Christ. It is in your name we pray these things. Amen. Her name was Rita. And I was in about the end of my first semester in seventh grade. Very cute little brunette, say the very least. You see, I had been in a suburb type area in a grade school setting with about 32 of us in the class, actually. And now we were up into the middle school building. And our school district was a gathering of about 9 little communities that surrounded around the town of Normal, Unit 5. Somebody knows about that. A lot of smiles, at least some. But there we were at Chittix Junior High. About 900 of us. Okay, big class. They had big classes back then. And I was smitten. I was absolutely smitten by this girl. Man. And she didn't want anything to do with me at all. Do you remember going to dance class in gym? You know, you're teaching us to do the 4-step or what are they called, all that other and things. And you went across the way and you picked out your partner and things. It wasn't very long and some of her friends came to me and said, stop picking her. That's just how popular I was at that moment with this girl, Rita. Oh my. She had me so captivated, so captivated. And she didn't want a thing to do with me in any shape or form. And she had it way of, and she did make it abundantly clear that what I was feeling for her was certainly not what she was feeling about me. You know? As bad as that is, we've all known situations where a husband or a wife are engaged heavily into a living relationship for a decade or 20 years or whatever, 30 sometimes even. And then all of a sudden they get this not so cryptic message from the person that they've been sharing their life so ultimately with. I don't love you anymore. And they sometimes say it as they're walking out the door for the last time, and the lawyers follow. And the person who's left in the home is crushed. They don't know what they did wrong necessarily. They couldn't acknowledge it if even that they did, because they're so crushed and broken. That's rejection. The loss of love. It's sort of like some of the kids I've known, either in foster care as a foster parent or in the courts with, you know, some things I used to do there with some of the juveniles. And they literally would give anything for a parent to care about them. I mean, you have a dad or a mother, they promise, I'm going to be at your football game or your baseball games, or I'm going to be at your dance recitals, I'm going to be here, I'm going to be there, I'm going to be involved in your life. And when the moment shows up for you to do it as a parent, they're nowhere to be found. And that kid is lost, devastated and destroyed. And so they begin to act out. And life has changed so dramatically for them in so many ways. And the parents say, I didn't do anything. No, you didn't. That's the problem. That's the kind of situation we're finding ourselves with today in the gospel lesson. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem for the last time. and those words, they're haunting, aren't they? Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thy city, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. Wow. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how terrible that was? Here is the Son of God. Here is Messiah. They have been looking for Messiah for generations to show up. And here he is in front of them right at that moment. And they reject him out of hand. They're crying unto the Father for the Messiah to come. And there he is right in front of them. And the religious leaders of the day, like, you better skip town because that old fox, he's going to, and all the rest of it. Here's his beloved people, Israel, who he saved from slavery, imprisonment, death, and destruction in Egypt, and brought them safely, brought them into the wilderness, and for 40 years led them and took care of them and cared for their every need. Here he is, the one who had protected this nation against all their enemies for centuries on end and caused them to be defeated and protected them. And all they could wish for is somebody to come along and cause a big fight, a revolt, and get rid of the oppressing Romans. And if that wasn't enough, Even with the ultimate miracle of all times, bringing somebody back from the dead, they still said, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him, and applauded when the Romans put him to death. Now, before we get all that smug about that, and all judgmental about Israel and the Jews, let's roll the camera forward a little bit. Let's put a big old mirror right in front of our face and begin to do a very careful examination of all of us, individually, separately, together. Now, I know you don't stand up and yell, crucify Jesus. I know you're not wanting to turn him into the Roman authorities. I know you don't want to bind his arms behind him. You don't want to shout, yay, team, when they're whipping the Lord, Savior. I understand all of that. I know that we have gone through all the steps. We have been baptized and we've gone through confirmation and we returned to church afterwards eventually. And all of those things. We possibly got married here. We've done all these things that somehow or another identify us as a part of the body of Christ. And yet, inside of each and every one of us at some point or another, or maybe right now in the lives of many of you, there's a big stop sign facing God. Another sign right next to it says, do not enter. Because we've got this little sequestered off part of our heart and our life that says to God, do not enter. We do not want you in that peace because I'm holding on to that one. You can do all these other things and I'll smile and I'll sing hymns and yes, I'll contribute to the life of the church somewhat at least. Because I ain't going to give up my all to them. I mean, you got to take care of yourself first, right? Okay. But we got that segment set aside. That's true of every one of us. Each and every one of us at some point or another. We all know that God in Christ forgives sins. You look at your two priests here today, or three, I guess, with Father Steve here. Raise our hands big high. We're sinners. We're not proud of it a moment, but I'm just telling you, right now we confess it freely because of our failures, our brokenness, and our need of salvation in Jesus Christ, because we are born again and redeemed, but yet a sinner nonetheless. Okay? And knowing all of that, and you know some of it at least, and we kneel at the rail and we pray for forgiveness before the cross. And then we have this dirty little habit. We get up from that rail and we pick up that sin and we throw it back over our shoulder and we carry it with us, instead of leaving it there with Christ. Or Jesus enters our life and we do have that stop sign up. We have that do not enter sign in place. And while we may be baptized and confirmed and all of this other thing, when you look at the way we live, as the world sees us, they never see Jesus. Because we choose to live unto the world above living unto Christ. Because we are, for one reason or another, uncomfortable with the idea of total surrender unto Him. We don't need to be smug, proud, or whatever towards Israel of old in Jesus' day. We got all that we can handle right here, holy innocence. I'm telling you. Now, that's not to say that this parish church isn't a great place to be, because it certainly is. I look at all the things that we do in TLC. And by the way, if you're not part of TLC, we need you. Week after week, we need you to be a participant. We need you with Kids Pack. We need you in so many other, the sewing ministries and all the other things that go on here. These are all great things, but you know what we need more than anything is a totally committed heart and life. Fully committed unto Jesus Christ. That's what we need. We need a people so intent on living inside the power of the Holy Spirit of the living God that every piece and part of us, we will allow it to be altered according to His will. That's what this church needs. That's what the kingdom of God needs. That's what we all need to do. Now think with me for just a moment. We're a great church. I know that. I attended the meetings all this week and I've heard all the stories about how great a church this is in this diocese. And I know, because I've been at this a few years here and there, I know how great this church is and its people. But I can't help but think, if you and I would tear down the stop sign, if we would get rid of the do not enter sign outside of our hearts and our lives, if we would allow God to forgive us and leave our sin at the foot of the cross and stand up and move forward, if we allow God to have full control of us, especially in this Lenten period, as we are examining our lives and our walk with Christ and all of these things, how much greater, better, holier, and committed a body we would be. Oh, holy innocence, holy innocence. God has sought to wrap His arms completely around us for a very long time. And often we have denied that opportunity to Him. Now is the time. This is the season to repent and to turn back to what He wants us to be. To God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we ascribe all might, majesty, and dominion, now and forevermore. Amen.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son,